Hi, I'm Marie Crowe, and welcome back to Green Ball, the Irish cricket podcast show. In this special episode, we'll be talking to the chair of National Men's Selectors, Andrew White, who will discuss the recently announced squad that will compete in the ICC Men's T20 World Cup. We'll also discuss Ireland women's first two matches in the T20 World Cup qualifier that they are currently competing in. All that and much, much more. So let's get on with the show. Now, earlier on, I got talking to Andrew White, the current head of selectors for the Irish men's side, and I started off by asking him how excited he is by the squad selected for the upcoming T20 World Cup. So, Andrew, it's been a fairly settled squad during the last summer. Were there many difficult calls to make?
Yeah, first of all, there is that sort of excitement around any World Cup, and here we have a few fresh faces in this summer. Some guys making their debut, a few younger faces, and I think that's, along with the established core group of players, some of the performances this summer have been really encouraging. And in terms of, when we looked at selecting the squad for the World Cup, I suppose we've been trying to build a squad for a period of time now, ever since, that exit to Namibia in the previous World Cup. So plans have been in place for quite a long time, and I suppose the big call was selecting only one off spinner, one out and out off spinner. And I suppose with Gareth Delaney and George Dockrell playing a key role during the summer with the ball and their ability to take the ball away from the right hand, that is something that we continue to look at. Andy McBrien has missed out on selection, which is really unfortunate. We've gone with Simi Singh because of his ability, as I say, to also take the ball away from the right-hander, and he's just a few more tools in the toolbox at the minute. Andy had a good run on the side, and listen, bowling off-spin in T20 cricket is such a difficult task. But yeah, as I say, it's unfortunate for Andy. He epitomises everything that is an Irish cricketer should be, that tenacious approach. We've seen in the one-day internationals this summer his how key he is to Irish cricket, and certainly his stock doesn't diminish in terms of what he means to Irish cricket going forward.
It must be really hard to make those calls when they're so marginal, and you know how it's going to affect people and how much disappointment there's going to be.
Yeah, I suppose it's there's no doubt it's the worst part of the job, I suppose. But I think the players are always very respectful in terms of how they take the calls. Andy was the ultimate professional, and I know deep down, I've been on the receiving end of those calls as a player myself, so I know what it's like. He will be hurting, I've no doubt, because he puts so much into it, as do all the players. I see firsthand during the summer there how hard they train, how hard they prepare, and how much they want to play and win for Ireland. And I suppose global tournaments don't come around that often. And so to miss out, we all feel for him. But we know the type of character he is, that he'll be back stronger come the new year.
I know that you kind of never know that you've got things right until after the fact. But how important is it now going into this period to have made the right calls and to get it right?
Yeah, well, these selection decisions aren't made just on one evening. It's over a long period of time. Lean heavily on Scott Irvine, our analyst, who does an amazing job in terms of the detail that he goes into for us. Heinrich has come in with his coaching staff and have a really clear way in which we want to play. I think that has been evident this summer. And, when you have a really clear strategy like they do, then it's a case of putting the personnel to the plan, and hopefully we'll bear the fruits of that come Australia.
So what was the difference then between selecting a T20 World Cup squad a year ago and selecting the squad now?
I think, whenever you reflect on the last T20 World Cup in the Emirates, and especially losing that game to Namibia in Sharjah, there were certain areas that we felt we needed to be stronger at. If you look at the squad that we've selected, it's dynamic, both with bat, ball, and in the field. And I suppose it's the pace that the game is played at. We can't have any room for error in terms of a lack of pace And I don't mean that necessarily with the ball in hand, or but just the running between the wickets and the middle overs. I think anybody that was at the games, the New Zealand games at Stormont this year, would have seen Glenn Phillips from New Zealand and the way that he ran between the wickets. Like, it was exceptional. And it's more the direction the game's going in. You're having to move with the pace all the time. You know, Fiona Hand, when he came in, sort of demonstrated where the game's going, coming in and trying to reverse scoop the Afghan seamer first ball. Now he was out, but it was the mentality around that and the freedom at which the players need to be able to play at.
So you're almost trying to predict how much it's going to develop and evolve by the time it comes around, in a way.
Yeah, and again, Heinrich and Scott Irvine are brilliant at that, in terms of, you know, looking at current trends and where we can try and be a step ahead and look to the future nearly and try and predict what way the game's going to go. You know, I talked about the off-spinner's role there, and when you look around world cricket, there's barely an off-spinner, an out-and-out off-spinner playing in T20 cricket now. And I suppose it's something that we've relied on in the past, and in many ways it's worked for us, but again, it's trying to be ahead of that curve.
Yeah. Conor Alfred is fit again.
Yeah, it's great to see, fit and raring to go. Again, he brings that point of difference to the squad, and I think he, with that height and bounce that he can extract, it brings back memories, certainly for me, of Big Boyd Rankin. You know, he was a guy that we were always desperate to have on our side because of that point of difference that he brought. And you know, Conor's still very young in years in terms of international cricket, but I think those that watched the interprovincial series this summer would see what he brings. He creates opportunities with the ball, and you know, hopefully he can go to Australia and have a real impact on the group.
I know the word that's often bandied about or strive for is consistency, but when you have the likes of Texter, Little and Sterling getting franchise experience around the world, how much of a plus is that?
Well, it's massive for those guys that are being picked up by the franchises, because it gives them opportunities to learn and to grow in their game with other players from around the world who are often in those franchises all the time. I think that the most pleasing thing for us was Josh Little's performances in the 100. It was really clear that he had taken the knowledge and the learnings that the coaches had expressed upon him throughout the summer, and you know, you're sitting back watching him bowl on TV, you knew exactly what he was trying to do, because, as I say, he was taking what he had learned within the Irish environment into the franchise world. And you know, I'm hoping that with more strong performances in Australia, that some of the other players won't be too far away from the franchise world.
Yeah, and it feels like it's heading that way as well. You know, you just, even the conversations, there's more and more links, there's more and more potential. And with every passing season, you expect more and more players to get those opportunities, which is progress.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, performing for Ireland will always be their number one priority. You know, when you talk to the players, that's ultimately what they want to do. And but they know at the back of their minds that with those performances, you know, the lucrative nature of franchise cricket may come along. But certainly, you know, when you speak to the likes of Paul Sterling and Harry Tector, they're mad keen to get back as well and pull on that green jersey.
Yeah, they'll be busy. So we know that Stephen Doheny he's really talented, but he missed out on a lot of playing during the summer. Were there any concerns about deciding whether to include him?
Not so much. There was no concerns about whether to include him. I think you know, we were very conscious that he hadn't played during the summer. He was actually due to make his debut against Afghanistan before the rain set in and the game was then shortened. So we, you know, that was before the toss took place. So we had to make a few changes just before the toss. And again, he missed out. Ultimately, you know, with Lorcan Tucker making the move really successfully to number three in the batting order, we wanted to give him every opportunity to continue in that role and to blossom, and he had a fantastic summer. So then, of course, the Afghanistan series was on the line in the last game, and I know that the captain was extremely conscious of getting over the line in that series, which we did, and of course that's fantastic. So there was no issue there in going with the captain in that call. Stephen Doheny, he's been around, he's learning from the likes of Balbo and Sterlo all the time, and we've no concern that, you know, if he gets a call in Australia, he'll be ready to perform. That's the sort of character he is, and he works hard.
So what will define success for this side?
It's always an interesting question, isn't it? There's always that underlying wish and desire to get through the group stage first and foremost and get into the Super 12s. But I know from experience as a player that you look too far down the line at your peril. And I know the coaching staff will be really pressing on the guys the importance of that first game. It'll be all focused around the build-up in Australia, those warm-up games, and that first game, as I say. So we'll leave the predictions to all of the other people.
Oh, you don't get off that lightly now.
Yeah, well, I guess you know, the players and the coaches, we want to be in that second round, don't we? That's ultimately where we want to be at. We wanted to be there the last time, and we're bitterly disappointed whenever we lost out to Namibia. But yeah, we'll go no further than that for now.
Good to hear. So what's your message as chair of selectors to those who didn't get the nod?
I think one of the important things that we've seen this year has been the consistency of performance at interprovincial level by some of our players. And, you know, we certainly do have more players knocking on the door of selection. So I see this World Cup very much as the beginning rather than the end. It's easy to look at World Cups, you know, in terms of that's the end of a cycle. But I think for us, it's the beginning. Given the freshness of the squad and given where we've been in our T20 cricket. So really excited. I'm sure, you know, with the volume of cricket that's to be played next year, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for those guys to make their mark.
Yeah, for sure. Andrew White, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time. And as you said, there's an awful lot of cricket coming up as well. So who knows what we'll be talking about over the next few months.
Now we are going to turn our attention to the Women's Cricket T20 World Cup qualifiers, which are currently on in Abu Dhabi. And I'm delighted to welcome Isabel Joyce and Alan Lewis to the show. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Smarting after yesterday's result, but trying to keep the head up.
Yeah, look, Isabel, let's get into it because it was a disappointing opening defeat to Bangladesh. How big of a setback was it?
Well, you know, you can lose one game, so they know they have to win the next two, Ireland. I think they'll be disappointed with how they performed. The good side is that they still got within 14 runs and they didn't perform that well. So I suppose that tells them that they have the beating of Bangladesh, which is always good to have in the back of your mind. But it makes the next two games nervy. They play USA today, who suffered a bad defeat yesterday at the hands of Scotland. And I think that Scotland game is the one that people will be worried about. Because although we've beaten them really well in friendlies, they have some, you know, big game players and they've got some new signings and they've certainly, you know, had the wood over us a little bit in these kind of situations in the last few years.
Alan, what were your thoughts on it?
Izzy has summed it up pretty well. I think probably at a tactical level going into the game, Bangladesh bowled a hell of a lot of spin. We played square of the wicket quite an amount of times, and really apart from Emma Richardson in terms of going over the top. Again, in women's T20 cricket, you have four fielders inside the circle, so either mid on or mid off is invariably up, and Ireland didn't really look until the latter stages of Emma, who batted really, really well, the best I've seen her bat for Ireland with her contribution. We just kind of went square of the wicket a bit. With the bowling, we looked a little bit, you know, in between and certain things like Emma Richardson bowled her first over for one. It's as if there's a pre-planned, you know, message. Then obviously she came off, which I thought was odd, particularly with the bowling resources that we have. And then obviously we just went square of the wicket with the bat. But as Isabel said, even with playing poorly, we got within 14 runs. Some major players, Orla Prendergast, Gabby Lewis, you know, didn't perform at the top of the order with some odd shots. And again, it's just one of those things. You want your senior players to stand up on these sorts of occasions. But as Isabel said, they, you know, they're going to have to win three games to definitely go to a World Cup. They're going to have to win two games now. And really, as you look at it, that Scottish game is going to be huge for a team they beat comprehensively prior to the last qualifying tournament. And again, you know, in this particular instance, they're going to have it all over again. So hopefully from that type of point of view, they can do it.
Isabel, Alan mentioned a couple of senior players there that I suppose saying they didn't perform to what we're used to seeing them perform is probably a good way to put it. Why do you think that was?
Well, you know, cricket's just one of those games. You can, especially if you're only a batter, you make one mistake and your day is over. So that was probably the case for Gabby. I'm not sure about the shot selection either. You know, she's so strong down the ground. I'd like to see her play higher percentage cricket earlier on in her innings because she's so huge for Ireland, and because there's, you know, there are other players that are performing around her. I don't think there's as much of you know, as much pressure on her to score heavily early on. She can look to try and bat for 20 overs a little bit more than perhaps she could have in the past. And then Orla Prendergast, you know, she's been injured. She's new up at number three. She's always been nervous her first 10 balls of an innings. That's when you need to get her out. Everyone in club cricket in Ireland knows that. And international cricket, they'll start to get to know it, I think, as well. But and then with the ball, you know, she hasn't been bowling. And there's a lot of pressure on her again. And she's, you know, she's still so young. And we talk about how young they are as a unit. But Orla didn't play international cricket for quite a long time when she could have, because... Mm-hmm. Her family were very keen on her not going in too early, which I have a lot of respect for, but it does mean that she has a little bit less experience than maybe you might think she would for the talent that she has. I think that, you know, Amy Hunter looks like she doesn't get as nervous, which is brilliant, and that should help with the others. But, you know, maybe something like Gabby moving down the order a little bit. I know people will hate me saying that, but she's so huge for this team. Maybe for a short time she moves down and they, you know, they try and make sure that she gets in for enough of the innings, but such a huge blow to the team when she's out. Maybe they need to offset that. I don't know. It's something to talk about. And it's certainly not something I've never thought of before, because I've never seen her bat anywhere but open, really, apart from when she first started out. But yeah, that's the story with cricket. And when your big players don't stand up, it gives nerves to the rest of the team. Whereas, you know, in sports like soccer or hockey or whatever it is, you know, you make a bad pass, you just try not to consolidate it. But poor choice shot selection from Gabby, and that was it for her yesterday. And she'll be chomping at the bit to get out against USA today, I'm sure.
Alan, what do you say to that, potentially Abby moving down the order?
Well, I suppose you can have various different types of reactions to these things. Like, she's been, as Izzy said, highly successful opening the batting, and I think to a certain extent, you've got to have faith in that. She's probably the strongest player. But one of the encouraging things within the moves is Amy Hunter has come up and looked very, very comfortable opening the batting, played some gorgeous shots yesterday, which again is a big plus for someone so young. So, you know, sometimes you've just got to stick to your guns, you know, and again, as Izzy said, cricket is such a fickle game. You know, one mistake and you're gone. And again, it's more about what's going on between the 6 inches often in your head. That's the bit we won't know. But we'll know more. And I think probably one of the positive things is they're playing today.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to quickly forget about yesterday, get on with today, try and put in a good, really wholehearted all-round performance. And the other side of things, then again, if they take on Scotland and win, it's going to fill them with a huge amount of confidence, because whoever wins the other group probably wouldn't want to potentially play Ireland. You just wouldn't know, because the other group, probably top to bottom, is that little bit weaker. I suppose the one thing, obviously, within that context, Bangladesh probably most likely will win the group, which will mean that they will play probably Zimbabwe in the other group. So it's going to be tough, because it's going to be tough for Ireland, and they know that now, but that sometimes can be a good thing.
Izzy, we haven't mentioned the heat yet, and it was so, so hot, around 46 degrees. How does that extreme heat and humidity affect your game and even your mental state?
It can't be overstated how important it is to be able to acclimatise, and the girls were over there early enough that they were able to acclimatise, but it's still very, it's very humid, which is probably the biggest thing for them. So gripping the ball as spinners, you know, the Bangladeshis would be very used to that. No problem for them. Whereas our bowlers, it takes a lot of getting used to. Whatever about being used to playing in wet conditions, you can always dry your hands. But in humid conditions, your hands just keep sweating. So if you've got sweaty palms and you're a spinner, it can be very difficult. And you know, the amount of dew on the pitch changes as well. So things like how much it skids on when you're throwing the ball in, or just all things that seem so small as we're talking about them now, can be the difference between a few runs in a T20 game and when it comes down to 14 runs It's big, especially when the other team are so used to the heat. So I'm sure it came into play, but it's something that this team are going to have to really get used to, because they're going to be playing more and more cricket in hot weather. And I'm sure it's something that they'll speak about. And the hydration side as well is also huge. So it's something that happens in all sports, but cricket probably affects it a little bit more because of the length of the game and the fact that you have to use your hands.
Yeah, and we're just not used to it really, Alan, are we? How do you fare in the hot weather?
Well, I normally like the hot weather, but as Izzy said, it's more the humidity than anything else, and that can really be the killer. Although they were playing at nighttime last night, I think it was only maybe 30 degrees when they were playing, but it is the humidity that is a killer. My only experience of it really was when we played in a World Cup in Malaysia, and I batted throughout an innings and lost half a stone in that period of time. It does seem extraordinary that you might do that, but. And it took me a hell of a long time. Now, that was back in the day that you know, perhaps didn't have the recovery mechanisms that you necessarily have now. But when I look back on it, it probably knocked you for a whole week, because you shouldn't be losing that amount of weight. And probably over the course of the tournament, lost well over a stone. So, you know, it can be very damaging, and it is something that you do have to watch.
Yeah, the recovery after it as well. Alan, are you confident that they can now kind of pick themselves up and get that little bit of momentum and continue on now and get those much needed wins?
Well, I am. And I think the other part about it is, as you said, they have to. They'll look for a pretty strong performance today, and then a rethink and address to Scotland. And I thought it was quite interesting. Again, Bangladesh won the toss and batted. That was no surprise to me. It's tough. In a lot of these kind of competitive games, runs on the board can mean so much. And Ireland would have batted, like, obviously Laura Delaney was asked that question. She would have batted had they won the toss yesterday. So, you know, they're the sorts of things that, you know, become pretty important. The pitch looks actually very good. It's just that I hope they can work and, you know, hitting a little bit straighter. That's where the real premium came for Emma Richards in the main towards the end. And, you know, she found some very good boundaries down the ground, which is an area that I hope that Ireland look to exploit that little bit more. I think in the bowling kind of context, there was a number of very good Emma Richardson bowling a lot flatter now, which is very good. And she had very good economy. The skipper, Laura Delaney, I wish she'd bowl a little bit more. She's really, like, she had 3 overs for 9 yesterday and kind of didn't bowl to the penultimate over. It's where you build that pressure, just in those little middle periods where you can get, you know, Jotty was 6 off 17. She finished with nearly 70 off 50, you know, so it just kind of gave you an indication of how powerful she was towards the end. She's the captain and she took the game away from Ireland. So, you know, it's just those sorts of little things. But I think it's easy to be critical. Mm-hmm. They're a smidge in a way, they've improved, and they've just got to try and build. And I'm sure, you know, the coaching staff will be pushing hard, building that belief. And if they can get a win, obviously today, and again, if they were to beat Scotland, it could, you know, really, it'd be like a monkey off the back to move into the latter stages and hopefully garner a final place.
Yeah, and surely they're going to be able to take confidence from those two commanding victories against Scotland recently as well.
Yeah, they will. The difficulty is obviously because it's nearly like a semi-final. It's a quarter-final, I guess. It's like a quarter-final for them. So it's very different to standalone fixtures. The mental side being such a huge part of cricket, it's how they perform mentally on that day. And try and forget about any times that they've lost to Scotland. I mean, historically, we would have won against Scotland in these kinds of games. It's just been the last few years that they've come out on top. So, putting those kind of feelings aside, and, you know, Amy Hunter hasn't been involved in those. Maybe it's going to be a big day for her. And sometimes it takes those new players coming in who don't have those mental scars that helps you get over the line in these kind of fixtures.
Yeah, okay, so a big period to come for all of those women involved. A few other topics to discuss as well, Alan. Let's just start with the Ireland Academy at the European Cricket Championships. Did anybody stand out for you?
Well, obviously, Seamus Lynch was very, very good. It seemed a very strange competition. Obviously, none of them would have played 10-over competition before, but Spain went on to be the eventual winners. There was some half-decent. It's very difficult to judge in 10-over cricket, to be perfectly frank with you. But there's a number of very good young cricketers in Ireland, and obviously there's been a wee bit of experimentation with players from outside the initial jurisdiction that we've never heard of before. So, you know, hopefully within the Irish setup, they can potentially bring them into, you know, playing some cricket in Ireland so we can get a greater visibility about not just their cricketing ability, what they're like, what Ireland means to them.
Isabel, just here at home then, let's have a quick chat as well about the Clear Currency Irish Senior Cup won by CIYMS and the Clear Currency National Cup won by North County. Just on their performances, how would you reflect on them?
Well, CIYMS had just an unbelievable season, and John Matchett, who was actually at that with that European team, was brilliant in the final. A little bit of a disappointing final, really. The Clear Currency Irish Senior Cup happens so often, doesn't it, in finals? One team comes out on top, and like 321 was a huge total for them to post. And I mean, I suppose if you're going to try and chase 321, you're likely to get bowled out for less than 100 because you have to chase runs from such an early period, and that's what happened. So massive for CIYMS, and you know, they've won two All Ireland trophies this year, and then two provincial trophies as well. So huge for them, and no surprise because they've got an absolutely star-studded lineup. And then, you know, a little bit more entertaining probably was the Clear Currency National Cup, North County winning a bit of a thriller there. And Eddie Richardson still has it. Good performance for him with the bat and the ball, 64 and then 4 for 13. So he was the standout, and he would have broken tearing your hearts. I think they had a tough season. They've gone down from the championship, managed to get to the final, and then after looking like they were going to win that game, they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. So a very, very well fought game, but you know, North County probably have the experience that told on that occasion.
Alan, what impressed you?
Well, I thought the National Cup final was obviously a very exciting finale. As you said, Terran Yor's inexperience in situations at the end really told for them. But what you saw was the joy of the competition. You know, the crowd there on the day was huge. You saw that obviously at the premier competition between obviously CIYMS and Lisburn. It's interesting to even look, you know, the man who lifted the trophy for CIYMS is moving his way to the side that lost in the final, Nigel Jones, which is very interesting. And obviously, his own point of view, funny enough, I think he played for three clubs this season, Nigel Jones. He played for Trinity, Pembroke and CIYMS. That must be a real record in any one season. But he lifted the trophy and is now going to Lisburn as, I assume, player coach. So it's interesting to kind of see where their ambition lies. But it's been a very good competition. I think the hardest part of it is, which we would all kind of in a sense love to see, would be that, you know, the full nature of the talent that's available. And I'm talking about our Irish contracted players that are playing for their clubs. They really love, you know, doing that. And if we can fit it into a season where they're all available, there's been some crackerjack games throughout it where they were involved. And it's lovely when they are playing for their clubs.
So Izzy, just a word on the Youth All-Irelands. How encouraging is it to see it?
Yeah, it was big for the girls side in particular because it's the first time they've contested this. I think everyone expected Clontarf to come out on top in both competitions, which they did. They're extremely strong at the moment, and there's no secret. You just put in a lot of time and planning and investment in their youth section, particularly the girls. So they kind of blew the opposition away and I suppose set the marker down. And then Phoenix winning for the boys was huge. So, you know, Cricket Leinster delighted, I'm sure, with the dominance of the youth cricket at the All Irelands.
Alan, did you see any of it?
I didn't see much of it, I have to confess, but probably Izzy's sitting back there in her chair. She started that particular formula in terms, particularly the girls in Clontarf. It's been taken on by Bavi Devshan, and like certainly to see how they've grown and developed, particularly within the women's game. And even speaking to someone who was there yesterday, what was most impressive was the depth of, you know, the players was getting ever better. And I think that's really a thing that augurs well for women's cricket moving forward. And that's something, you know, in a sense that I've seen, having watched a lot of women's cricket this year, I think the depth is beginning to improve. And so many of the younger girls are actually very good. And you've got the advent of the Under-19 World Cup now, where there'll be kind of big challenge for places. And there's quite a number of those even in the national side at the moment. I think of Georgina Dempsey, I think obviously of Amy Hunter too, to speak of, but a few. So it's really encouraging, particularly in the women's game, and as it fosters and grows, I think it's going to be really good for Ireland moving forward.
So thanks to Isabel and Alan for your opinions today, and thank you for listening to today's episode of Green Ball Podcast. We'll be back in your feed regularly throughout the year, so the best idea is to make sure you subscribe to the channel to get the latest episode of the Green Ball Podcast.